Thank you, Steve. I have a quick poll to take this morning as we get started. Who here is a younger sibling? There should at least be 5 hands raised. But there's a lot more than that. Okay. Okay, because I got a picture of 5 right here. 4 of them are younger than the oldest. And yeah, we went to Blockbuster while we were gone. Yeah, it's grainy. It's from a Facebook picture. Or my phone, I don't know which. Well, so this might just be me who has an older sibling, perhaps in... perhaps the oldest in the family, the older sibling sometimes seems to be the most outspoken or confident, outgoing, and while you as the younger sibling might be more timid, shy, maybe a shadow compared to the older. I grew up as a pretty quiet child, never spoke much, kept to myself, kind of played alone all the time. I had a few friends, but the friends I had were real close. I didn't have a lot of people in my life, but those who I hung out with were very, very close. If you can tell, that's from Friends. My sister, on the other hand, was very outspoken, very brave, very confident. She had so many friends coming and going from our house, we just had an open door policy. This was like, I'm just going to go hang out with a few friends. That was what my sister did. Needless to say, she and I were and still are very different people, despite the fact that we had the same parents. Sometimes I feel we did not have the same parents, but... And in fact, there were a number of occasions when she told me we did not have the same parents. She was hopefully lying. So today I'm actually going to introduce you to one of the 12 disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's probably younger brother. And this is a picture of Andrew from The Chosen. If you haven't checked out The Chosen, I don't plug television too much, but The Chosen is a pretty good program. Andrew is perhaps the apostle I admired most and strive most to be like. He is the very first recorded follower of Jesus, and the very first job he gave himself was missionary. He went out, grabbed his brother Simon, and introduced him to Jesus. And just as we go through, I'm going to tell you a little bit more about who Andrew was. And we know significantly less about Andrew than his brother Simon Peter. That probably tells us that Andrew got in a lot less trouble. We know he was a fisherman with his brother and with James and John, two of the other disciples. He was also a follower of John the Baptist until one day when John the Baptist, he said in John 1:35-37, the next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this and they followed Jesus. So Andrew, who was a follower of John the Baptist, just stops following John the Baptist and starts following Jesus. Just like that. But don't worry about John the Baptist. He didn't feel bad. He was not only okay with his followers leaving him for Jesus, but I wouldn't be surprised if John even gave them a little push. "Hey guys, go with Jesus. He's way cooler than me." So Andrew follows Jesus and very quickly introduces his brother Simon. And then he kind of fades into the background. We see more of John and Simon Peter in the gospel account, and James is always with them. In fact, these three kind of get to hang out a lot. John, Peter, and James, but Andrew was not always with them. Now, some of you who are the younger sibling know why Andrew got to hang around Simon Peter all the time and John and James. It's very possibly because he was the youngest and he just wanted to be around. He wanted to be included. He was different from them, but liked being around. Andrew didn't seem to have the same aspirations as the other three, they often argued about which one of them is the greatest. And while there are points in Scripture where it says the disciples were arguing about which one is the greatest, Andrew's never singled out as one of those who's really trying to get up to the forefront. James and John's mother even tried to get Jesus to give them a higher position, but not Andrew. He is mentioned only a handful of times in the gospel accounts, and never after Pentecost. But when he is part of the story, he is doing something really amazing. Remember last time with Simon Peter, sometimes he was called Simon when he needed to listen, because Simon means listen. And sometimes he's called Peter when he's being the rock of the group. And it was all based on his behavior, Simon or Peter. Not Andrew, he didn't get a nickname. Jesus didn't say, hey, your name is George now. No, it just stayed Andrew. He was never rebuked directly by Jesus in Scripture. And the closest we have to Andrew ever doing anything wrong is when Jesus says, before his arrest, everyone will leave him. And all the disciples, this includes Andrew, promise they won't ever deny him. And a few minutes later, they all ran away. Andrew included. So based on his reputation in the gospel accounts, I hope you can see why I think of Andrew as a younger brother, because as we all know, little brothers are perfect and they never do anything wrong. Right? Right? You see, Andrew was an effective and promising leader, even though it seemed he was in the background of everything. But let's look at Andrew's focus compared to others, like Jesus. The bulk of Jesus' ministry is seen talking to the masses. He's always around a large group of people teaching and talking. And only on a few occasions throughout scriptures is Jesus directly taking one person aside and talking. So like Nicodemus or the woman at the well, Jesus engages one-on-one less than he does the masses. Every time we see Andrew, he is really focusing on the individual. We already know that Andrew got his brother and introduced him to Jesus. But there's a few more times where Andrew was the go-to guy when it came to introducing individuals to Jesus. From John chapter 6, it says, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, this is a different disciple, but he says to Philip, where are we to buy bread so these people may eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. Here's where Andrew comes in. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Here, Andrew is introducing a seemingly insignificant person to Jesus. There's 5,000 people in the crowd. They have, we'll say, $200. They have $200. That's not enough to feed 5,000 people, even if you bought them all ramen. That might not seem, 200 denarii might not seem like a lot, but it was actually 8 months' wages. And I said 200, but that's actually more equal to $40,000. $40,000 is still not enough to feed 5,000 people. I wish I kind of had that kind of money, $40,000. I'd buy some new lights. That's what I'd do. So they could have spent the 200 denarii and fed a few people. And 5 loaves and 2 fish are still not enough by far to feed 5,000 plus people. Andrew didn't care about that. A little boy approached Andrew and said, "I have food that I'm willing to share." And Andrew said, "Well, let's take it to Jesus. I don't know what he can do, but I'll introduce you." Andrew never forgot his job. Let's look at another example from John 12, just a few chapters later. "Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks." These are non-Jewish people. "So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.'" Now Philip remembers a couple days ago, Andrew's the guy to go to. So Philip went and told Andrew. Philip knows better than to circumvent Andrew here. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." So we have Andrew introducing some Greeks to Jesus. They say to Philip first, "Hey, Philip, we want to meet Jesus. Take us to him. Introduce us." Philip's like, "Hey, yeah, that's great. Let me show you to Andrew first. He's our PR guy. I'll let him take it from here. I'll just step over here." And I think Andrew was like, "Philip, you don't need me to take this job. You can introduce people to Jesus too. Watch, I'll show you how to do it." So he brings Philip along with him to show him how it's done. Has anyone here ever heard of a man named Edward Kimball? Any show of hand? Edward Kimball. Maybe. Edward Kimball, he wasn't a pastor. He wasn't a preaching evangelist. He was a dry goods salesman who agreed to teach a Sunday school class of teenage boys, including a biblically clueless young man named Dwight. This guy named Dwight, I couldn't find a picture of him as a teenager, but this is him in early adulthood. But Kimball wasn't content just to see the boys once a week in his class. He got to know their interests and their backgrounds. Feeling especially burdened for the very lost Dwight, he determined to visit him at the shoe store where Dwight worked. He was feeling the tug of the Spirit to tell Dwight what Jesus had done for him on the cross. Kimball's fears flared up at the door as he thought of reasons not to pursue his mission. However, he did go in, found young Dwight in the back room, and later Kimball would say, "I simply told him of Christ's love for him and the love Christ wanted in return." And there in the back room of the shoe store, Dwight experienced that love for himself. And years later, Dwight reflected, "I had not felt that I had a soul until then." In subsequent years, Dwight would share that Calvary love with a multitude across America and beyond. And the world would know him as a leading evangelist of the 19th century by the name of D.L. Moody. So if you've ever heard of D.L. Moody, was this the right Kimball? Nope, different Kimball. Okay. So if you're familiar with D.L. Moody, he's a big evangelist of the 19th century. There's a college named after him, Moody Institute. Sure, big time evangelist. There's a radio station named after the guy. There's a great deal of books out there that say D.L. Moody on them. Pretty famous evangelist. Still known today by a lot of people. And it was all because of a guy named Edward Kimball that nobody even heard of. And I think Edward Kimball would be fine with that. I'd like to think the biggest heroes of the Christian faith aren't the D.L. Moody's and Billy Graham's, though they are heroes, but instead the people like Edward Kimball and Andrew, who introduced people to Jesus and then stepped back and let Jesus do the work. I want to say that we are all called to share the gospel, but it is how we do it that makes us each unique. Andrew worked in the background. Simon Peter led the charge from up front. Two very different approaches to introducing people to Jesus. But what if we didn't have people like Andrew? In Acts chapter 2, Peter is speaking to thousands of people about Jesus. He gives a very lengthy sermon about their need for Jesus as their Savior, and at the end of the sermon, this happens. Acts 2:41, so those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 new believers who then went out and shared the gospel with their families and friends, and the gospel was on the move worldwide. So I'm going to share a verse with you again about how Andrew introduced Simon to Jesus. But what if it went like this? One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew. He listened carefully to all that Jesus said and kept all his words in his own heart, but did not share what Jesus said with his brother, Simon the fisherman. If that's what the verse said, we wouldn't have had 3,000 people coming to Jesus 3 years later. How different history would be if the verse read like that. I only changed a couple words. He did introduce his brother, Simon the fisherman, to Jesus. Andrew was crucial, and all he did was introduce a handful of people to Jesus. And I am a pastor not because one day, a little over 5 years ago, I got a call from some assistant district superintendent saying, "We've got a church for you." Yep, that helped. I'm a pastor today because I was invited to a church when I was in high school and I was introduced to Jesus. D.L. Moody became one of history's greatest evangelists because a Sunday school teacher introduced him to Jesus. Some of us here today owe our own personal introductions to a person who invited us to church or an event or introduced us to Jesus in some other way. Now, I'm not an expert on heaven by any means. I don't know exactly what heaven's going to be like. But using my imagination and maybe a little humor, we could say a man had just arrived in heaven and he sees and bows before Jesus in all of his glory. Jesus lifts the man up, hugs him dearly. And to the man, the hug feels as if it's both lasting just a few seconds and a million years at the same time. The hug breaks and Jesus says, he looks at the man's face and sees sadness. He says, "My child, why such sadness?" And the man replies, "My Lord, I loved you for so many years, but in all my life, I only showed one person your love." Jesus touches the man's tears and wipes them away. "Come, child," he says, "there are a few people who want to meet you." And Jesus brings the man to the one man that was there because he had introduced him to Jesus. But that wasn't the most amazing thing. There were thousands behind that man, all of whom the man knew Jesus because of that one soul. And then, of course, he went, "Woohoo!" We have no idea how far an introduction will go. We can introduce one person to Jesus, never see that person again, and then we find out in eternity that they introduced 1,000 people to Jesus. And we have no idea how far an introduction to go. And introductions don't even always have the best motives. Several years ago, I read a story written by a woman who had been a lesbian most of her life. She went to church with her partner because They decided that they wanted to make the people in the church angry. So they'd sit in the pew and they'd kind of make lovey-dovey or whatever they were doing and trying to get people mad. Well, for several weeks, they flaunted. But one of the women was also listening. She and her partner ended up breaking up, and she kept going to the church. And she found love and grace and forgiveness from Jesus, all because someone who hated Jesus introduced her to him. Because it was all her partner's idea to go to church in the first place. That backfired in a good way. They say the Lord works in mysterious ways. One more introduction. This one is a doozy. In 1910, a man by the name known as D.R. Van Sickle. He was a non-believer, and he said anyone can write a hymn. But here's the interesting thing about this song he wrote. He wrote it because he wanted to show people that anyone, even a non-believer, could write a hymn. And after writing the song, he came to church one Sunday and he heard the song. I was going to have Jessica play it, but oops. He was listening to this song, and it was called All Hail Emmanuel, if you've ever heard it. He was so moved by the music and the people's response to it, he repented and turned to Jesus. He introduced himself to Jesus. How does that work? You do not need to be afraid to share the gospel with anyone. And even if you are, you can be an Andrew and just make an introduction. That's all that's really needed. Plant a seed in their heart. Watch it get watered. Let God do the growing. You don't need to be the most important person in someone else's conversion. In fact, it can be more of a blessing if you're the least, like Andrew. Remember in Mark 9, and he sat down and called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last and servant of all. Andrew was a special kind of leader. He was a leader who did not seek his own glory, but passed it on to Jesus. And we don't know much about Andrew outside of the Bible and after Pentecost. Tradition says he headed north to modern-day Russia and even Scotland. And at the end of his life, Andrew was arrested in Greece for introducing Jesus to the Roman governor's wife. I guess he got upset. He was tied but not nailed to an X-shaped cross where he spent days dying. And while he was on the cross for these days, you know what he did? He kept introducing people to Jesus as they walked by. Hey, I'm up here on this cross. I'm dying, but I want you to know about Jesus. This is a man who loved his calling. Can we do the same? Not all of us are called to be like D.L. Moody or Billy Graham or Andrew Palau, who was just here. But we are called to introduce people to Jesus. So let us do that and watch how God works it out. And I promise it will be amazing because God is good all the time. So before we pray, I'm going to have us listen to that song again because we love this song, right? Tells us all about these disciples who were just nobodies and how we're just nobodies who love Jesus. So when you're ready, Alice, press the space bar.
Oh. You ready?
Yep.
Mystery. All my life until I'm never home. At the end of the line, we'll only ever not twice. We'll only ever think twice. But it turns out we're looking for all this time. But
our right to assert rights. You could dwell outside, nobody would choose, and then you change the world. The moral of the story is, goodbye is now purpose.
Jesus, thank you that we are just nobodies trying to tell everybody all about you. Some of us don't know how to introduce you to someone. I pray that you give us wisdom and insight to if we can't sit down and share the complete story of our faith, then at least we can say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. And introduce them. Help us do that, Lord. And also bless this meal to our bodies that we would enjoy this time of food and fellowship together. And we'd have a good time together. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I'll leave you with this verse from 1 Corinthians 27:29. I don't know what chapter it's in. I didn't write it down. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. And God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. It's all about Jesus. Amen. And let's eat.